Okay, here we go. Something. We came to hijack something, your brain.
Something.
Welcome once again, sports fans, to the Something Cast. I'm James Hatton with
Podcast Rob.
Another day, another show.
It is. It is indeed. We're just we're cranking them out here.
We surely are.
Like Doritos.
All right.
Crunch all you want. We'll make more.
See, Something Cast, you can't just pop one.
Oh, that's Pringles, isn't it?
Yeah,
Pringles, Lay's, yeah, something like that, whatever.
Doesn't matter. We like snack foods.
Yes, we're snack food friendly. Equal opportunity snack food employers.
Hey, Ben, sir.
Good. How about you?
I am doing well. I wanted to say, I didn't even talk about this before the show because I wanted to ask you. There was a documentary I watched on Netflix.
Yes.
And you're from New Jersey. We're from New Jersey. This should fit in your sphere of memory.
All right.
I saw this docu and I literally went, oh my God, that's my child. Like, I remember this at 2 in the morning. WWOR.
Okay.
Morton Downey Jr. show.
Oh, yeah.
There's a docu on Netflix.
I haven't seen it, but I saw that it's on there.
Fantastic.
Big mouth. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's called Evocateur.
Yep.
And if nobody has any idea who we're talking about. Morton Downey Jr. was famous for like 5 minutes in the late 80s during the whole Tawana Brawley thing. He more or less made Reverend Al.
Oh, yeah.
But it's, if you like reality anything, Morton Downey Jr. was the dude who started it off. Like, go watch this and you'll go, oh, this is why Glenn Beck is popular.
Right.
It's phenomenal. And they do this art direction. All the art in the middle is like, it almost looks like Grand Theft Auto animated. What they do.
Oh, okay.
But they go into his past. He was a singer. His father was a big singer in the 20s and 30s. They show him on the hit list with Dean Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Where they play his, I guess we'll call it a music video. It's just him kind of walking down a street and singing. And Dean Martin's like, yeah, your voice is better than your father's. It's different. It's what the kids like these days.
Yeah, yeah.
And how he went from that to being, you know, the loudmouth pencil neck geek type guy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was his big thing. Is the podium that he stood behind on the Morton Downey Jr. show was just like a big open mouth.
I mean,
that was the whole thing. He was the mouth.
But just that they were showing, I mean, they were really showing all like the Jersey, we'll call them the Jersey flavor.
Right.
Of the KKK guys that were on there and Reverend Al before he was the big guy, big head chief on campus.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's what I've been doing with my last week or two. How you been?
Good, good. I recently saw Olympus Has Fallen.
Okay, is that Morgan Freeman?
Yes, okay. Morgan Freeman. And Skyfall. Saw that on Netflix. Had the weekend off. So
tying together our old.
Yeah, kind of was, yeah. I liked both of them. I really did.
I will get to both of them eventually.
Yeah, yeah. Good stuff.
Because we are eventually going to get to the new Bond, right?
We're eventually going to get to the Daniel Craig Bond, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And that's like 8 episodes from now.
Yes,
rather
like
8
that.
Bond episodes from now.
Yeah, something like that. But so, yeah, other than that.
Yeah, I've been playing video games.
Gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
Working on comics.
Yeah. World of Tanks, stuff like that. You know, we haven't mentioned this enough. I did post it on the Something Cast Facebook page.
Yes.
James Hatton, creator, artist, writer, inhislikeness.com.
Wait, thank you, sir.
No, because, I mean, it's to the point where every time that post comes up, when you post a new episode on Sunday or Monday, you know, depending, I'm always like, oh, new episode. And I have to go and I have to read it. And it's great stuff. So I want to make sure that, you know, you already have your, you know, your following, your audience of people. You know, we're building the audience on this. But if the Venn diagram of the In His Likeness and the Something Cast is not just one circle, it should be. There shouldn't be just a little overlapping piece. So I want to make sure that whoever listens to this podcast.
Dot.
Exactly. I see what you did there. So yeah, while you're listening to the Something Something cast, go over to inhislikeness.com and check out the cartoon stylings of Mr. James Hatton.
Oh, you make me blush. Funny, similarly, if I can get what I want going with Wild Pig Comics, my
yes.
Alma mater.
Wildpigcomics.com.
We do the book club there.
Yes, we do.
And the hope
you
is,
do.
Well, yeah, the hope is to record. Will you come? The hope is to record it and then kind of share that with our universe too, and maybe
sure.
create like the Something Cast universe. Like,
oh, there you go.
You know, the we'll
like the View Askew universe.
Yeah, or the Nerdist Empire.
Yeah, there you go.
Like that. So we're trying to for as much as you know, this is two jackoffs in on microphones.
Yeah, not getting paid for any of this.
I like the idea that we're trying to build a little universe here.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and as we had said before, and you know, this may not be something that's right around the corner. But we are pretty good friends with the manager of Wild Pig Comics, and he has mentioned in the past that he wouldn't mind having us record an episode live there. It wouldn't be streaming live, but it would be recorded, you know, live in front of some people.
So
some other
we should save like a comic book episode.
People in our same mindset, you know, the whole Geek Nation kind of thing. So that should be coming down the pike. I'd say after the first of the year, that's something that we're going to look
at. I think once we have this episode in the can and then another one or maybe two, then we're good for the year.
Yep. The plan is we're going to do one in December. You know, people running around doing the holiday stuff. We'll give you that break to sit down, listen to the Something Something cast.
Can we talk about Charlie in the Box?
Nobody wants the Charlie in the Box.
Nobody wants a train with square wheels.
And then once the whole holidays get put to bed and New Year's get put to bed, we'll come back with a vengeance and start going back to kicking ass twice a month.
Exactly. And then if somehow we figure out a way to get money in our hands, maybe we'll do more. But that's not. We're not asking you to pay us. We're
just trying
to figure out how to get paid.
Yeah. So iTunes would probably help.
Do you know they actually have to validate it? That's actually.
Oh yeah,
part of the
I know.
Problem. They actually have to like go and listen to our show. So.
Oh yeah.
We're gonna see how that goes.
Well, no, I
we're
knew that
in the validation process.
I knew that up front. Yeah. That you know we have to submit something, and you know Mr. Tunes has to sit there and listen to it.
Ichabod Tunes.
Exactly. He has to sit there and listen to it and put his little you know good housekeeping stamp on
it. That's what I used to, when I worked at Starbucks. That's what I used to look, Mister. I know Mr. Stephen Terrence Arbuck.
Oh, yeah.
And he does not like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely.
But we are currently being...
vetted. Is that what it is?
Vetted, yeah.
Yeah, background check. They're running our fingerprints as we speak.
That won't, my cats are in on it.
That won't turn out bad at all.
No. So this... We haven't even told people what this episode is about.
Well, we told them last episode what this episode would be about. So if they're following along... We are delving into the wild, wacky world of sports movies.
Yes, sports.
Yep.
There's a lot, so I think this...
There is. There's a lot of sports.
That's true. At least one or two.
There's a lot of sports that really, like, shouldn't even be sports, too, if you think about it. I mean, if the Olympics are any...
So you're saying I should delete Bring It On from my list?
Have they made a movie about, like, choreographed swimming yet? You know, the whole...
There was an old Saturday
water ballet. Well, yeah, I remember that with the nose plugs and the water wings and everything else. I'm old enough.
You know, I don't think there's one about synchronized swimming that wasn't just like a passing.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a bunch of things looking at our list of movies that we did want to talk about and some of our favorites. You know, there's some glaring errors. I'd love to do an episode all about just breaking
Electric Boogaloo.
Yes, sir.
Nice. There are definitely some movies on here where I'm going to, I'm sure some of our listeners are going to chime in with, oh, I saw that, and I will be duly shocked.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the name of the movie is. And I think there will be other ones where we're going to get posts or emails or Facebook posts going, you know, you talked about this movie, I had never seen it before, and I went out and watched it. And the choose your own adventure answer will either be, and I really liked it, or you guys are fucking crazy. One of those two options will no doubt happen.
Gleam in the Cube, guys. Really?
Quite possibly,
Gleam
yeah.
in the Cube?
Exactly. I don't think there's a Get Glue sticker for some of the some of the movies that we have, though.
What do you do the Get Glue thing? Have you looked
you know,
at it?
I keep seeing it. One of our listeners does it all the time, you know, out in Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Whose name will not be mentioned. Yeah, but it keeps popping up. I'm watching so-and-so on Get Glue. So I'm like, okay, I have to find out what this whole thing is.
Is it just I watch a show and I get a sticker?
Well, the thing is it looks like virtual stickers, but then once you earn so many virtual stickers, you can have them mail you legit, like, paper stickers. I don't know if there's a fee involved or anything, but it's almost like...
I hope they're scratch and sniff.
It's almost like a poor man's Facebook community for individual shows.
Okay.
So, like, I'm a big Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fan. I've been watching the show. It's a great show. I love Clark Gregg. So I said, okay, fine. Let me go on to, you know, figure out this whole Get Glue thing, and I'll go watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the minute you log into Get Glue and you click on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it, like, kicks you to its own little Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. community where everybody else who's watching it, who's logged in, is on. So you can kind of riff back and forth with each other about the episodes that you're all watching.
Is it filled with just a bunch of 12-year-olds going, like,
you know what?
Horrible racial epithets?
The thing with me is that I just started getting into not only watching the episode, but watching the live tweeting that the actors do through the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Which is funny as fuck.
Go ahead.
I can't focus on the TV show and the live tweeting and what, you know, it's basically, you know, I don't know if you remember, you know, AOL 3.1.
I do.
It's basically like an individual AOL chat room almost for each, you know, to break it down, just spiffied and polished up a lot different interface.
Because that concept, watching it on television and then seeing the live tweets, is something I miss out on because I don't watch anything live anymore. Like,
everything
I watch is streaming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Because that would at least have me vaguely interested in seeing something live if I could see what Coulson's writing or see what...
Yeah. It's actually very cool.
I do know, and I've been interested in trying it, I haven't, that a lot of movies have now, they'll have like an iPad or an Android app that while you're watching
the movie... Yeah, like follow
along
app, yeah.
So I know Iron Man has it. I know the Harry Potter. Some of the Harry Potter ones have it. I'd love to just to try it, just to see. Click the movie, watch it with the...
Homeland and Dexter also had that when it was on Showtime, where you could, you know, watch on Homeland and follow along, and, you know, it was almost like pop-up video
where
you could do on this, and it would have different information about stuff that was going on. I mean, I'm multi, you know, focus person to begin with.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, 5 years ago, I'm watching From Dusk Till Dawn on, you know, DirecTV and playing Mech Assault on my Xbox, you know, flipping over the inputs while I'm playing Star Wars Galaxies on my computer. Oh, I have to mine this for 5 minutes? I can get in an Xbox match while I'm listening to From Dusk Till Dawn that's on the other input but playing through my stereo. Now it's just like, whoa, hang on. Coulson's tweeting, the world must stop. I have to read this because I can't follow along anymore.
So are the actors tweeting or are the characters tweeting?
No, it's the actors.
Okay.
It's the actors. There is one tweet is, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so it's obviously somebody from the show.
Sure.
But then there's Clark Gregg and there's all the other, you know, main actors who tweet as themselves. But they will comment on the stuff, obviously,
cool.
you know, that they or their characters say and stuff. It's really good stuff.
I find that to at least, that's, if TV's dying, because TV's kind of dying, not television shows, just the format of watching television on a cable box, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
That's at least something that makes it interesting and different that you can't get the way I do it.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Well, there's actually, I don't, you can probably YouTube it, there's a whole thing of Kevin Spacey receiving some... European Broadcasting Award, where he does this whole like 12-minute speech on the future of television and Netflix and how they're really changing the game, because he got it for House of Cards.
Yeah, House of Cards, of course.
And they're talking about how, you know, this is no longer a broadcaster's market. This is no longer a, we will broadcast your show once a week, and if you want to watch it, you will be in front of your TV on Tuesday night at 8:30.
It's a consumer's market.
Between your TiVo box or your, you know, Hopper or whatever, your DVR,
Roku.
Exactly, or Netflix. He said, if people want to sit down in front of their TV and watch 15 episodes of a TV show all at once, and you do not give it to them, somebody else eventually will, because that's how people want to watch it now.
And they'll find it.
Exactly. They will go find it if they want to.
There was an interesting report similarly of the top 5 pirated television shows, and realistically, I think 3 or 4 out of the 5 were not available in one of the mass streaming markets.
Netflix or Hulu Plus or anything like
Amazon
that.
Amazon Prime, any of
them. Right.
So people are doing it. Like, it's kicking the butt out of piracy, but if the vehicle's not there for me to watch my movie, I want to watch my fucking movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree with it.
So, sports movies.
Yeah, so now that we're 15 minutes into our sports movie.
Talk about anything else.
Yeah, unless piracy's a sport. I don't think we've actually touched on a sports movie yet.
The pirate movie.
Yeah.
There's no sports in that. There's
Steve,
fencing.
Steve the pirate. Dodgeball. Arr.
So, well, there's a bunch we could do. I mean, we could just start listing off sports and listing off movies, but do we just want to, like, start talking about our favorites? Because
well, we did.
Do it?
We did come up with some sort of plan of attack.
Yeah.
Where Hatton and I each picked five movies about sports as our favorite representation of said sport.
Yeah, various sports.
So they're all, yeah, they're five different sports each.
Because legitimately, we could do a whole episode on football movies. Like,
absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Absolutely.
So I think just going, these are our five favorite just overall sports movies.
Yep.
It's not a bad call.
Yeah, and I wanted to make sure that we didn't just do, you know, these are my five favorite sports movies and they're all about football.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make us, you know, have to think a little bit.
Yeah.
So we kind of branched out and did one movie for each of five different sports.
Yep, and we
they're not going to be the same sports between both of us.
Nope.
Some of them you folks might not even consider sports
or a movie. But you have a baseball. I don't have a baseball movie because, generally speaking, there's not many baseball movies I love. Like, The Natural is a good flick, but
right.
You know, I wouldn't put it in my favorite movies of all time.
Right.
Maybe League of Their Own.
Oh, see, that's a good one, too.
Yeah.
It was really dicey when you start thinking about some of them, because even football, there's like three or four that I really liked. But when I had a, you know, rank them, even if it's by millimeters, which one I thought was not only an enjoyable movie to watch and fun for me to watch, but a good representation of that
of the sport.
Sport. It was kind of
like, I have two favorite football movies, but I had to pick one. I picked the one that made me laugh versus the one that makes me cry.
Right. I'm with you. Well, that was the same thing with baseball. I kind of had a tie for baseball because one was a drama and one was a comedy.
Yeah.
But I really couldn't just choose between the two because, you know, then I'll get hate mail from the other one. And
so why don't we start with football then?
Oh, sounds good. What do you got for pigskin?
Yep, I went with Wildcats.
Goldie Hawn?
Yeah, Goldie Hawn.
Okay.
The first of the Wesley Snipes, Woody Harrelson movies.
Right.
About it.
Yeah. Like, that's actually a good call.
Yeah, they had a lot. They had a good run of films, but I think this is the first one they were in together. They were young.
Yeah.
But Goldie Hawn takes on the Wildcats football team. It's a brutally, like, mean movie.
Oh, well, this was like...
Like, mean comedy-wise.
This was like mid to late 80s,
yeah.
Wasn't it?
So where you could, you know, there's tits in the movie, there's drunk girls in the movie, there's cursing, there's...
And there's stuff that you can get away with saying in a movie back in the mid to late 80s that you could not get away with now.
But I remember that scene, because I was young when I first saw it. My brother had it on like a... I think it was like a bootleg VCR tape.
Right.
And I remember the scene where they do the running. She makes them run in the rain. And,
right.
She challenges them that if she can run longer than them, she'll be their coach.
Right.
And it's just her and Wesley Snipes just running in the rain, beating the shit out of each other verbally as they're doing it.
Right.
I remember it to this day just sitting in my brother's room watching that flick.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe it resonates because I was a kid, but it's still funny flick. They do some funny stuff.
I didn't remember that scene until you now bring it out.
Yeah.
And it's almost one of those things where if I ever meet Wesley Snipes in person, it's almost like you want to go, you got beat in a race by a girl.
See, that's not what I'd say that's not what I'd say to Wesley Snipes if I met him.
You got beaten money by the IRS?
No.
Don't you know to pay taxes?
No.
Always bet on black.
That would be, do you play roulette, sir? That's exactly what it would be.
I knew we'd get there eventually.
It has to be a line from one of his shitty movies.
Exactly.
So yeah.
Some motherfuckers always try to ice skate uphill.
I'm the daywalker.
Ugh.
So football for me is Wildcats.
Yeah.
I didn't go with my other, which is I love Rudy.
Ugh.
It's such a brutally wonderful film, like across the board.
It is, and it's one of those things where it's become such...
It's a cliched movie now.
Oh, yeah. It's such a part of pop culture.
Yeah.
That people who look back on it, who've seen it, you know, in their youth or in their teens, mm-hmm. or, you know, their early 20s and fondly remember it as kind of a defining movie for them at that time period, they don't realize how much of that movie was just complete bullshit.
Oh, thoroughly.
Yeah. Like, they never lined up and put their jerseys on the coach's desk. And I want Rudy to play at my place. I want Rudy to play at my... No, that never happened. But God damn it, when you were watching that movie, you were like, fuck yes.
Yes, Samwise.
Yeah,
you get your fucking
exactly.
Touchdown.
You know somewhere there's a deleted scene where they're before the Council of Elrond and they all go walking up, laying their tabards on his table going, I want Sam to go in my place. I want Sam to go in my place.
And that in Lord of the Rings... There was more than once in the theater because I sit my buddy Chris, and Chris and I just were not good in theaters. Because
no,
yeah. Well, it's he and I like our favorite thing to do used to be just sit and watch Mystery Science Theater together.
Oh,
so
sure.
There was at least I think it's right after the big speech, the big Samwise speech.
Right, right, right. There,
Frodo, I could see the Highlands. You know, I can smell the quickening. Whatever the fuck he says to Frodo,
I can smell the quickening.
And just at the end. I don't remember which one of us said it. Just Rudy, Rudy, Rudy. It's ruined. Sean Astin can't be in a goddamn film without that happening.
No, it's, yeah, that's very funny.
Yeah. So football for you.
Football for me, and it's very funny because we were just talking before we started recording that I had just recently seen the remake of this movie a couple days ago. I chose The Longest Yard, the original.
It's a classic.
Longest Yard, Burt Reynolds. I love watching that movie. It's gritty. They did a good job with the remake and making it funny and making it comical. There's a lot of really famous people in the remake. I mean, you have Michael Irvin from the Cowboys as one of the convicts. You have Nelly as one of the convicts. You have, you know, Burt Reynolds plays the coach. So they're all in there. And then you've got people like all these professional wrestlers and boxers that are playing the prison guards on the other side. So it's almost like a who's who when you're watching it. You're like, oh, this is going to be ugly. But I got to tell you, the original Burt Reynolds one just had such a feel to it. I mean, you knew the Adam Sandler one. Adam Sandler's going to come out on top. You know, he's not going to write a movie where he loses at the end. The Burt Reynolds one, I mean, I can watch it over and over, and there's just never a point in time in the movie where you are absolutely convinced 100% that this turns out good for Burt Reynolds at the end of the movie.
Now, that movie's like mid-70s, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, even when you look at that era of film, it's got a different texture. Like, those movies, most definitely, you didn't always know the hero was going to come out on top.
Sure, absolutely.
I feel that maybe that's fallen to the wayside with film.
But there's this very iconic scene at the end
where,
you know, the convicts end up winning, and the warden is very pissed about it, so he gets the captain of the prison guard team, and he hands him a sniper rifle, and he's going, shoot him, yelling at Burt Reynolds, because you see Burt Reynolds walking across the field, walking through the crowd of people, there's a big open tunnel, like, leading to the outside.
Yeah, the classic
and
exit.
The warden is convinced he's trying to escape. And the prison guard is torn because they've had the whole sportsman thing going on, you know, and the good sportsmanship, and he's earned respect for the character.
Right.
And he's looking at him through the sniper scope, and you see, you know, Burt Reynolds, like, high-fiving people and walking away and waving. And you're convinced that he's going to shoot him.
Changing the tone of the end of the
film. Exactly.
Holy. Yeah.
And Burt Reynolds reaches down and picks up the game ball, turns around, and comes walking back. Like, that's what he wanted. It was the game was that important to him. And just the look of anguish on the guard's face when he realizes, I almost shot this guy for no reason. Like, I'll still sit in my seat, and it's like, whew, that was a close one. And I will say that the Adam Sandler one really did tie in that same dramatic ending at the end. They really paid good homage to that scene, because that scene is so defining of that movie.
Right, because that was my one of my concerns with seeing the Adam Sandler one was like, how much are they gonna camp it up? I really didn't know how tight they were gonna hold to.
It wasn't completely camped up. I mean, Sandler, you know, gets his jokes and his humor and stuff in, but the end of that movie, while not as dramatic as the original, like, it didn't have that feel where you're gripping your armrest going, are they going to shoot Adam Sandler? You know, I'm going, please, you know, but
they did definitely keep that
drama at the end. They knew that that's kind of such an iconic scene. We can't fuck with it. We can't yuck it up. So we have to keep that pretty close to the chest.
What wrestlers were in it? It was like Triple H?
No, it was Goldberg was in it. He was actually on the convict team. Kevin Nash was on the prison guard team.
Okay.
Evander Holyfield was on the prison guard team. Coach, I swallowed a thumb. You know,
Is the Adam Sandler one worth checking out? Like, just for sitting down?
It was weird that he made two football movies, because I still think The Waterboy is a better football movie than his version of The Longest Yard.
Right.
But it's not a bad movie.
Oh, for
you know, if you've seen the original and then you watch the Adam Sandler one, yes, you're definitely going to see that there's very huge comedic tones that weren't in the original. Mm-hmm. But you'll also see where they tried to stay very true and realize, you know what, this is kind of hallowed ground. We can't screw with this. We can't screw with that. So...
fair enough.
Good stuff.
So there we go. We have Wildcats.
Football out of the way. Wildcats and Longest Yard.
So now,
and both of them not really recent. Both of them, you know, back in the day.
Easy.
There have been a lot more football movies since then that have came out, and yet we chose to kind of go retro on both of these.
Couldn't even name them.
Well, you've got Any Given Sunday.
You've got
Necessary Roughness.
Do you want to know? I don't even know. Oh, because you went to the 70s. I'm thinking the Adam Sandler one, which wasn't too long ago.
Oh, no. Yeah. But I'm saying, yeah, since the original Longest Yard and Wildcats, there's been a lot more that have come out. And, you know, we brought it back, keeping it real.
So I'm going to go with one of my off sports, and then we'll go with one of your off sports before we hit, like, baseball.
Sure. Okay.
So I went with I mentioned this one last week or last show.
If this is what I think it is, one of our listeners is going to lose his shit right now when he hears this.
The Cutting Edge?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, we have a listener who's in Topic.
For those who are sitting there now, because there's some manly men that listen. There's some men that listen to our show. And I say that with a capital R. Yeah. Give that movie a shot. Aside from the fact that Moira Kelly is phenomenal.
Yeah.
In that film, just looking.
And what else would she be awesome in?
Oh, my face.
There you go.
A sucker punch?
Exactly.
A sucker punch. Yes. That movie, like, top to bottom, laugh out loud. There are spots in that movie that still to this day, like, I've seen it enough where it's one of those quotable movies for me.
Oh, sure.
You know, I've been practicing that move for 3 seasons.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are some laugh out loud moments where, like, it's his first match. It's, what's his name? D.B. Sweeney.
Yep.
And it's their first big competition, and she goes, "What? What's wrong?" And he goes, "I'm gonna be sick." And he just goes off stage, and he vomits.
Mm-hmm.
Comes back, and she goes, "Are you gonna be okay?" He goes, "In like 10 minutes, you know." And there's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And there's just a moment where she just kind of goes, "Don't breathe on me."
Yep.
And her whole face just goes gray because she just.
It's a good movie. I haven't seen it in years, yeah. But I very fond memories of that movie.
He got his skate caught in her lederhosen.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, the big line, Topic. Good stuff.
John Locke also in that film.
Yes. Terry O'Quinn.
Yes, Terry O'Quinn. He plays the father with hair.
Yep, absolutely.
Rather, he plays the father, and in this film,
he has hair. Yes. No, that was a good movie, though. And, I mean, the overall story was basically hockey player.
Yep.
Basically, like, collegiate level, almost getting into the pros.
Yeah, like single-A hockey.
Yeah, has, like, a career-ending hockey injury where he can't play hockey anymore.
Loses peripheral vision.
But he still has, you know, the love of skating, mm-hmm. And this was kind of, what was this, like, his coach's way to try to keep him?
No, it was, he goes and works for his brother's bar in the middle of Canada, and Moira Kelly... is a complete and utter diva bitch.
Right.
So she's gone through, like, partner after partner.
Oh, right.
Made it almost to the Olympics. Made it to the Olympics once and failed, et cetera, et cetera. Can't hold a partner because she is a diva.
Right.
He's the last shot. They go find him and say, you know, this dude can fucking skate. He could have been it. And that's how he gets into it.
Right. And they pair him up.
Yep. And so he has to learn Topeak.
And as Hollywood is wont to do... things work out for both of them.
The one would say yes
to a certain point.
There is some sexual tension.
Well, of course. Yes. I mean, it's Moira Kelly.
Holy fuck, Moira Kelly.
God damn. Yeah. Okay. Right.
So that was one of my off, not standard sports movies. You want to hit with one of yours?
I'm going to stick with the Frozen concept.
Okay.
Not necessarily ice skates. And I will completely be unabashedly honest and say this movie is the whole reason I wanted to do a sports movie episode, because I wanted to talk about this movie, Men with Brooms.
Which, you've told me about it. I have not seen it.
It is about the sport of curling.
All right.
Way back in the day, me and a buddy of mine flipping through the Olympics, and we come across curling.
Mm-hmm.
So we go onto the internet, and we're like, we got to figure out the rules to this thing. Like, we're trying to follow along, but we don't really quite understand. We pull him up, and he IMs me and goes, do you know that there's a curling club in South Plainfield, New Jersey?
There is. I know somebody who's on who's on one of them.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, so we go and we check it out, and it's like $40 for 3 days worth of lessons. Each lesson is like an hour and a half. So we're like, dude, we have definitely spent $40 on dumber shit. This could yep. be cool. So we go and check it out one night, and we walk into the little clubhouse place right in the beginning, and we are immediately the two fucking coolest people in this building.
Is that just because it's are you saying that it's because it's like filled with nerds, or that you're just like you're new blood?
Well, yes and yes.
All right,
I mean,
fair
enough. It's curling nerds, you know what I mean? We've done, you know, Renaissance festivals. We've done stage combat. We've done, you know, we've been in bands.
You're not making a case for your coolness.
And we go walking in compared to curling
Fair
people.
Enough.
Come on. Come
Fair
on.
Enough.
It's like Alpha Beta is going to the chess club. You're just like, dude, we fucking own this place. So they're like, you know, so why did you want to come down here and learn? And, you know, my friend Dave is like, well, you know, we saw it on the TV and we learned the rules and everything and we thought it's really cool and it's kind of like shuffleboard and chess put together, so we wanted to come down to learn it. And he looks at me and I said, look at me. There's two ways I'm getting to the Olympics. One of them's a ticket. Come on. Let's just fucking be honest. So, I mean, it's a lot more detailed than people really, the layman who watches it will give it credit for.
Right.
And I will say, they frown upon the Harvey Wallbanger. You
is
know
that they just
when you just take that rock and you just like gah and just give it everything you've got and it goes sailing down the ice at like 60 miles an hour. They frown upon that.
So now is because curling hit like I don't want to call it the ironic craze, but there was a period maybe the last two Winter Olympics ago.
Yeah,
where everybody was like, "What the fuck is this curling? Let's check it out."
Absolutely.
And so now I think when Winter Olympics hits, it's kind of like the secret obsession.
It is.
I know if I can watch it, I'll pop it on because it's,
oh, absolutely.
It's totally interesting to watch.
Yeah.
It's like darts with, you know, air hockey.
It's shuffleboard and chess.
Sure.
And
so now is Men with Brooms a docu? Is it a documentary? Or
no,
is it
no. It's all it's all comedy, full fiction. Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The whole gist of it is there's a local club that didn't win the last tournament that came around because there's a rule in curling where you can't, once you let the person who's throwing the rock, mm-hmm. once he lets go of it, the rock can't be touched. If you touch it with a broom, if it happens to brush along the side of your shoe, it's a burned rock. They have to take it out of play. You can't alter. The only way you can alter the direction is by sweeping or not sweeping in front of it, but mm-hmm. you can't actually touch it. So it's this whole big long thing where there's, you know, a new tournament coming in and the old club wants to get back together and show the local club pride and everything. And it's so small scale. I mean, the movie was made on like $15,000 or something like that. The guy who wrote it and directed it is also the lead actor in it.
So it's all very indie and.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But it's a good, it's a funny film.
I thought it was hysterical.
All right.
I mean, and this is from somebody who's done curling. You know, they had it on the TV when we went in there. So we're like, what the hell is that? And they go, oh, yeah, it's a movie, Men with Brooms. I'm like, okay. And I used to work at The Wiz before they went out of business. And I'm, you know, on my lunch break flipping through the DVD section, and I find two copies of it. So I check our inventory, and there's two copies in the entire company of, like, 35 stores, and we had both of them. I said, this is karma.
Yeah.
So I bought one for me and one for my buddy, and I'll still watch that movie, like, once a month.
All right.
It's very funny.
I will have to check it out.
Yeah. If you don't know the rules, it's okay because they kind of go over the rules in the movie so you can follow along. But yeah, definitely, if you haven't, trust in Podcast Rob. If you can find it, give this movie a watch. They actually turned it into a series in Canada.
As you do.
And it disappoints me because all of my video browsers can't connect into anything with the .ca. to watch it. But yeah, I would love to watch some episodes of Men with Brooms.
I know some tricks.
Hatton's gonna work his internet magic right after he gets our iTunes thing hooked up.
You wanna know what? Getting Men with Brooms? Probably easier. So those are our
those were like our on ice.
Well, you have another on ice sports. So
no, I did scratch that one.
You did? Oh,
yes,
never
I did.
Mind.
That's but there's that has a been screeched.
Well, just let's also address. There's a couple other great the hockey movies that we didn't because neither of us have.
Oh, absolutely.
Hockey.
Yeah, I mean Slapshot.
Slapshot's right up at the top.
Know, the original Slapshot. Yeah. Obviously, they came up with some sequels that kind of declined.
And the
as the
Ducks.
Franchise went up, Mighty Ducks, big Emilio Estevez kind of
films.
Put him back on the market almost, you know?
For a while. Like, that was the beginning and end of, hey, what happened to Emilio Estevez? He did Mighty Ducks.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Cool. What happened to Emilio Estevez?
And not only that, but that movie became so popular that the NHL franchise that moved to Anaheim changed their fucking name to the Mighty Ducks.
Why not? Disney money, baby.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a big deal. Everybody kind of like facepalmed that, really? Really? Because of the movie, you're going to change your name to the Mighty Ducks? Well, hey, it worked.
And there was a period of time when I guess that was all when I was in probably around middle school,
mm-hmm.
like right in there, that I've never been a sports guy. I know, big shock over here.
Right.
But, I always wanted to be, like, yeah, you want to have a thing that's yours, so wouldn't it be cool to be a fan of a team from when they just start?
Like, sure.
There's no new football teams coming out anytime soon. There's new baseball teams. There's a new hockey team. Let me try getting into hockey. So there was probably about a year where I followed the Ducks, and I had, like, Ducks hat and stuff. That lasted half a season.
Right.
You know, but
well, and it was more.
And I love their logo. I loved the duck goalie mask. I thought it was fantastic.
Because the goalie mask kind of comes out to cover the mm-hmm. duck beak. And it's more impressive on your end because I did the same thing when the Devils came over. The Devils used to be the Colorado Rockies, came over to Jersey, changed the name to the Jersey Devils.
I didn't know that.
As soon as they came here, I started getting Devils jersey, Devils hats. We used to go to the games and everything.
Sure.
But that's local pride. Yeah. I mean, I'm in Jersey. For you to be like, oh, there's a new team, and they're called the Ducks, and that logo is kind of sweet, fuck it, I'm going to follow the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
You know, out in Jersey, I'm going to follow a team from the other side of the country just because they're new, and I want to lay claim to something that nobody else around here is going to wear a fucking Anaheim's Mighty Ducks hat, so it's going to be all me.
Nobody does.
Anymore.
And nobody, nobody really did then either. It was just me. My really cool hat.
Well, yeah. Well, because the other side of the coin is everybody's walking around with, like, you know, LA Kings or LA Raiders hats.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thug life gangster. Mm-hmm. And here's Hatton wearing his, you know, Disney cartoon goalie mask hat.
Which, you want to know, that's, you pretty much described the microcosm of me in middle school. Like,
yeah,
that's,
well.
Everybody's doing the cool thing, and then there's Hatton over there.
And there's Hatton finding a way to geek it up.
Wearing an OP surfer shirt. Fuck.
Nice.
I have never been on a surfboard.
But that was the thing. I mean, come on. OP, Hobie.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Pat Odd Jack, Ron John Surf Shop. Mm-hmm. Everybody wore them. Nobody got on a fucking surfboard.
Nope.
Come on.
Big dicks, anything?
Puka beads. I mean, Jesus Christ.
All right.
But there, like you said, there are other good hockey movies out there, too. I mean, I originally had Miracle on Ice on there. And I mean, to this day, I will say this. If you pull up even a YouTube clip of the original happening of the 1980s, you know, United States hockey team mm-hmm. going against the Russians. You have to remember, this wasn't the gold medal round.
No.
This was to get into the medal round. You know, this is like the semi or the quarterfinals even. But we were supposed to get demolished like 30-0. And, you know, these scrappy guys from the States are taking it to the big red Russian machine.
Yep.
And when you get down to about 7 seconds left and you realize that we just cleared out of our zone and they are not really going to have time to come down and mount any sort of offense, and the timekeeper is counting down the seconds, and the stadium, I'm getting, just talking about it, I'm getting
the
stadium
videos.
Is erupting, and over all the screaming, you hear Al Michaels screaming to his mic, "Do you believe in miracles?" It was just amazing.
It's a sports
the
moment.
The roof blew off the place to see the goalie draped in the giant American flag that somebody threw over the boards. And these guys are standing down. They're like, what just happened? Like, it didn't sink in on them for like 10, 15 minutes. Like, oh my God, what did we just do? Mike Arruzzioni, all of them. Good movie.
A funny.
I can't put it above Men with Brooms, though.
That's fair. A funny response to that.
Okay.
There's the other Miracle movie, Miracles. The
right, right.
One. I saw that there's a theater near us in Dunellen that you can go in and you can see a movie and get a pizza and a pitcher of beer for like $15. It's not expensive.
Oh, wow.
So for a buddy of mine's birthday, we had like, I don't know, 15, 20 of us.
Right.
They only show one film at a clip in this Dunellen Theater. It's only one or two movies.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just so happened the first birthday, he wanted to go to the Dunellen Theater, get a giant pizza with friends, drink beer.
Right.
What movie is it? It was Miracle.
Oh, nice. So, is this the one on 28?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so we watched the Kurt Russell one. You know, nice. It's not a great movie.
No, but still, who cares?
Yeah, who cares when you're getting loaded and eating pizza?
Yeah. I mean, at that point, you're almost Rocky Horror-ing through the whole
thing
anyway.
That's pretty much what we did.
Were you guys the only guys in the place?
Sadly, we had to keep... We were on the balcony.
Oh, okay.
So, but there were kids down below, were like...
Kind of keep it PG.
Keep it in the middle.
Yeah, yeah, I gotcha.
But talking about the big Russian machine...
Oh, I see. Nice little segue. I see where this is
going.
Heard
you say Russian machine when...
See where this is going.
This segues wonderfully into my boxing film.
Absolutely.
Superman Quest for Peace.
Qua?
I must kill Superman. They came out around the same time. That's why I always linked them in my head. Rocky IV.
Ivan Drago.
So many wonder... I mean, I can watch the montage.
Oh, yeah.
Hearts on Fire.
Montage!
Yeah. I can watch the Hearts on Fire montage and him lifting up rock. Because that's the big gimmick. Sylvester has to be over in Russia for this fight. He has to be where the Russians are.
Right.
Drago has all his machines. He's being he's in like Luke's tank at the end of Empire.
Yep, like, the tank.
Yeah. And, you know, Rocky has to lift logs and bags of boulders.
Drago's getting steroid injections with these things that look like meat thermometers. I mean, they're like, you know, 10-penny nails. He's on the digital treadmill. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Rocky's outside, you know, cutting down trees with his gloved hands.
Punching bucks in the face.
Exactly.
But it's hard for... I love all the Rocky films.
He's got the castaway beard going. Yep. Fucking covered in snow.
I love all of the Rocky films. I love the ones other people hate. I think Rocky V, still kind of a good movie. And no one likes that one.
This does not surprise me about you.
That's fair.
I will just say that.
But I do love all of the Rocky films.
Right.
But 4, I think because it's the one I saw in the theater when I was little. And yeah, it's the whole Cold War thing.
Sure.
And... it's dramatic right from the beginning. I mean, Rocky has such a formula where something horrible has to happen in each of the films.
Yep.
In this one, it's Apollo, of course, dies. So he faces off against Drago. I don't even think I loved Mr. T, I don't think I love number 3 as much as I love number 4.
Right.
It's got so many fucking great lines in it.
Sure.
I will break you.
I must break you.
Oh. Whatever he hits. He destroys.
Yeah, yeah.
Every line that the Russians
good
say.
Good stuff.
Fucking
yeah.
phenomenal. To this day, when somebody says something Russian-y, I tend to do the whole, like, Sylvester at the end speech where he's in the ring.
Right.
If I could get along. And the guy's like, you could get along. We all could get along. The Russian dude in the back makes that fucking scene for me every single time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So good.
That is good stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I love that stupid movie.
Yeah, and you have to realize that, you know, Rocky's screaming this speech out, and there might be like 9 people in that whole stadium that don't need the translator.
Yeah.
And everybody else is going, what is he saying?
And I think it's the audience in the fight itself, because the audience, they all hate fucking Rocky because he's America. And this movie's not about Rocky and Drago. It's about the Cold War.
Absolutely.
And, I think it's like round 35. And,
yeah, yeah.
And like Drago has a paper cut and a hangnail, and Rocky is missing an eyeball.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's at this point where you see the first Russian in the audience. Rocky.
Exactly.
Rocky.
He's not going down.
He is, we are one. We are same.
Exactly.
We are same man. So there's my Rocky.
Yeah, yeah.
I love my boxing
stuff.
Movies. I had a rough time because I love boxing movies.
Right.
I mean, they're all the same fucking movie, but I love...
More or less.
Even Real Steel or Robo Jocks or any of those. They're all the same goddamn film. But, like, I think the only one that hits me, that hits my I need a good boxing movie is The Great White Hype, which is stupid funny movie.
Sure.
And it's only funny because the last 5 minutes.
Gotcha.
Like, the build-up to the... Because it's one of the Wayans brothers. I don't remember which one.
Right.
and Irish McGee, and they're looking for a white competitor for him because he's Mike Tyson. He's been the Wayans brothers. He kills everything.
Right.
He comes into the ring and he's not been paying attention for this fight. He's just this big, fat, doofy looking guy versus the Irish white guy who's been training and training and training and training.
Sure, sure.
And then the ending happens, and the ending of that movie is the best 30 seconds of the whole film, but it still makes me laugh. So, on to you, sir.
I do not have a boxing movie, but I kind of went in a different direction. I have a racing movie.
Okay.
This also falls under one of your Tom Cruise has a job movies.
Tom Cruise has a job.
But I went with Days of Thunder.
Oh, Nicole Kidman.
I am a closet NASCAR fan.
Really?
I do like watching the NASCAR.
All right.
I started getting into it probably about 8 or 9 years ago.
Okay.
And once you actually sit down and watch it, like not leave it on in the background, not just come in and check every now and then, because if you leave it on in the background or you just check in, you know, when something else is on commercial, it's, you know, 37 rednecks driving left.
Yep, turn left.
When you actually are watching it and you focus on watching it like a movie and that's just what you're paying attention to.
How do you do that for like 4 hours?
You realize how much strategy is involved in when you pit. What do you do? Two tires or four? How much gas do you get? Who are we drafting behind? Who do we leave this lane to try to go with somebody else to get ahead? It's almost like chess on in a car.
Right.
It is a lot of strategy to it.
I've made fun of NASCAR for obvious NASCAR-y reasons.
Sure.
But I've always understood that, like, those guys know what they're doing. They're professionals. I mean,
oh, yeah.
The South Park episode, I think. Have you ever seen the South Park one about NASCAR? Where Cartman becomes a NASCAR driver.
Oh, okay.
And so he's just...
NASCARtman?
Yeah. So he's in the press conference and... Yeah, I'm going to get in my car, I'm going to go fast, I'm going to turn left. And that's all he's doing, where
all
the other NASCAR drivers are like,
sure.
No, that's not exactly how it works, actually.
Right, right.
And they're all very hyper-intelligent.
Oh, sure. Well, and that's the thing, too. Back in the day, I mean, what put NASCAR kind of on the proverbial media map was they broadcast at Daytona 500. It was like the first time it was broadcast on national TV. And it was Cale Yarborough and, for the life of me, I can't remember who the other driver was. But they're coming out of turn four, heading for the finish line, and they're just beating and banging side by side, cars just knocking into each other, tires hitting each other, you know, sparks, dust. They end up going into the wall and then spinning down into the infield.
Mm-hmm.
And they take themselves out of the race. And the cameras follow along and see the third place guy goes through and wins the race because he avoided the wreck caused by the first two.
Gotcha.
Camera whips back down to the infield, and there are the two drivers and half of their pit crew looking like the Royal Rumble, just like helmets off, beating each other with the helmets, fists
really?
And faces, kicks and dicks and whatnot. And just like they're going batshit on each other. And the NASCAR people are going, oh, my God, I can't believe we're doing this on a national stage. And the people watching it are going, this happens every fucking week. This is awesome. And it kind of really put the sport on the map to what it is today. But Days of Thunder, you've got Tom Cruise playing Dick Trickle.
Dick Trickle.
And he's a great driver, never driven a NASCAR before, doesn't understand the whole. This is very definitively like an... a good old boys movie. I mean, that's what NASCAR basically came from. They came from the moonshiners and the bootleggers and everything doing races on the beach. You could do the whole Babe Ruth thing and be kind of like fat and out of shape, but I know how to put my hammer down and turn left and okay, good. Now these guys are, you know, they have master's in engineering degrees and everything because they have to know, the car feels a little bit tight, so I think if we go into the engine and turn that 16th bolt a quarter inch, we'll be able to get ridiculous now.
My brother is, he likes NASCAR.
Right, right.
And there was a time when, you know, we'd go over his house and we'd play video games and what have you.
Sure.
He had one of the NASCAR games, and we sat down, and for as much as I've ever seen them, I'm like, it's just real-time driving left.
Yeah.
And he goes, there's a lot of that, but he goes, this is what I like, and he goes into the menus, and you can, same thing that you're saying.
Yeah, you can, like, when you can change the compression ratio of your left rear shock to try to get better grip, that was even too much for me.
But for those guys, I mean, that's
I'm like,
those...
I want Need for Speed, press the green button, my car goes fast. I don't want to...
Hit right trigger,
exactly.
Drift.
But so you've got Dick Days Trickle, who's you know, really good at driving, not really good at figuring out how the car goes fast. Just, I can drive, I can put the big car into tiny holes when I need to and everything else. And they actually did film on NASCAR tracks.
Sure.
They used legit stuff. Like, there were times where during filming, they'd have the races going on, and they would be half a lap ahead. And then on the back stretch, while the race is on the front stretch,
a real race,
these guys and like eight other cars are going to be on the back stretch, and they're going to film, and they're going to do it for three laps, and then they're going to pull off, and that's it, because that's all the time we can give them for.
Okay.
But they were doing this through warm-ups, through time trials, through real races. But it has one of my favorite lines in a movie, much less in a sports movie.
All right.
Tom Cruise is doing horrible in this race. He has bounced off, you know, pretty much every other car out there.
Doesn't he have a bit of a rage issue? Like,
yeah. There's an old school saying, you know, Rubbin's racing. You know, he's driving, and all of a sudden another car kind of comes up and just, like, sideswipes his quarter panel. And he's like, he hit me. He didn't hit you. He rubbed you. Rubbin's racing. Because if you can move somebody out of the way so you can take their spot without putting them in the wall or spinning them out, you do it. They're kind of gray areas. So they're under caution. You know, yellow flag is out. Everybody's doing, like, 40 miles an hour while they clean off debris or whatever else was on the track. So there's no real racing. Nobody can gain or lose a position. You're just going around in a line. And his crew chief comes through the radio and goes, now, just before the green flag comes out, I want you to drive up that line, and I want you to hit the pace car. You want me to hit the pace car? I want you to hit the pace car. Why do you want me to hit the pace car? Because you've hit every other goddamn thing on this track. I want you to be perfect. Fantastic stuff. But there was some really cool scenes where they get into the mindset of these people, too.
I do remember that movie was taught me drifting.
Well, not only that, but they end up in a hospital. Big wreck. Him and his rival are in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And they're both getting released at the same time, and they're both coming down the same hallway in wheelchairs being pushed by nurses. And the one guy kind of looks to the side and spins his wheels a little bit faster to get like half a wheelchair length in front of him. So Tom Cruise is like, well, fuck that, spins his wheels, gets up in front of him. Before you know it, 30 seconds later, these guys are like racing down the hospital in these wheelchairs, because that's the mentality. They're competitors to the point where they can't come in second to somebody else. But like you said, Nicole Kidman in there too. I don't think it was their first movie that they paired up with, although it may have been.
I think that might have been.
It might have been. I couldn't remember if it was that one or Far and Away.
Oh, wow. You're right.
But it may have been Days of Thunder.
Neck and neck. I don't know.
But again, you know, whether you're into NASCAR or not, you don't really have to be into NASCAR to understand and watch the movie.
No.
Kind of Top Gun in a car, but yeah. it was good stuff.
None of those Tom Cruise has job movies. Like, you don't really need to know them.
No,
you'll learn what you need to know for the film.
Yep, absolutely.
Which brings me to my next film.
Oh, I like the segues we're working on here. This is good stuff.
I also have a Tom Cruise has a job
film. Never going to happen again.
Nope. Mark this on your calendar, folks.
A Tom Cruise has a job movie.
I do.
Wait a minute. We're talking about sports movies, and it's not Days of Thunder.
Non-standard sport, similar.
Oh, well, now I'm trying to... Okay. I'm. You go ahead and say
Paul Newman.
I'm not. Oh,
Color Money.
Oh yes. Okay, I gotcha. Wow, this is young Tom Cruise too. Yeah,
this was, I think, his breakout role.
Yeah, because he's got like the Saved by the Bell haircut in this movie.
There is, in fact, a spot in the movie where he goes time out and the time stops altogether.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this was his. This was the movie where people kind of took like legit notice of him, like not legend, where he's like
right. Well, and Risky Business kind of put him on the map, but I think people may have thought that was a flash in the pan. Mm-hmm. I think this came after Risky Business, so this kind of solidified.
And he's in the movie with Paul Newman.
Yeah.
So, and it's a
before
movie.
He became like, you know, the salsa and popcorn king.
Exactly. And this is, it's a sequel, not a sequel to, shit.
The Jackie Gleason one?
Yeah, the Jackie Gleason one.
Right. It's not The Hustler.
It's not The Hustler.
The Sting.
No, it is The Hustler. It's not The Sting.
Oh, okay. Right. So it's The Hustler, not The Sting. Yeah. Right.
I always get those two confused.
Right.
But yeah, this is he plays a young buck pool shark.
Sure.
And he meets Paul Newman, who's playing. Am I saying Paul Newman? It's Robert Redford.
No, I thought it was Paul Newman.
You're right. It's Paul Newman. I get those two confused too.
No, it is Paul Newman.
I'm an asshole. But Paul Newman is playing his character from back
right,
then
right.
too.
Yep.
So he's training him on how to hustle, how to connive.
Sure.
To get all the way up to the Las Vegas, the big tournaments. But I love, what I love about that, first off, I love heist movies. I mean, it's even on our list that
right,
I'm
right.
We're
no,
going to do. We're
we
going to do a heist
absolutely.
Movie episode. This movie isn't a heist movie, but it gets you in the mind of the con.
Oh, absolutely. It's a con man movie.
Yeah. There's a lot of conning, but the con is for them so they can get to the big game.
Sure.
You know, it. One of the movies I didn't put on here was Rounders, which
right.
is another one
yeah,
of my
yeah,
favorite
yeah.
movies. I want to save that for heist films or con films. That movie, Rounders, ends when Matt Damon gets, I'm going to go to the big fucking tournament. That's
right,
where
right.
the movie ends.
Yep.
This movie, it's about him getting there.
Right, right.
So where, you know, Rocky goes and he faces five guys who you don't need to know about in a montage.
Sure.
This guy's, they're hustling for money just so they can make it out west.
Sure, yeah, yeah. He's got the skill to compete in the big tournament.
Yeah.
But he has to get there, and the quickest and easiest way to get there is to just hustle your balls off.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
And it's got a couple, like, there's the one cameo, young Forrest Whitaker's in that movie.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
He's in it for all of like 30 seconds. He's the one guy, he cons Paul Newman.
Okay.
He plays where Paul Newman's like, I don't know whether I can do this anymore, but I'm going to try it. And Forrest Whitaker kind of pulls the wool over his eyes.
Right, right.
It's not a good term with Forrest Whitaker.
No.
Left eye. But yeah, easy, one of my favorite, I could watch it anytime, throw
nice.
It on.
I've seen it years ago, I'm going to have to go back and watch it again. I love playing me some pool, I'm good enough to be okay at it, but
yeah.
I'm not good enough to be great at it, and then you watch movies like that, and you're like, I could do that, and you totally can't.
But to the same, every one of these Tom Cruise has a job movies, and it's one of the reasons that craziness aside, I kind of respect him.
Right.
He does all that shit. In Days of Thunder...
They
taught him how to drive. He,
yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm sure there's a stuntman for some of it, but
sure.
not all of it. He learned.
In Ghost Protocol,
yeah.
he was hooked up to a harness climbing the outside of that fucking building. He
yep.
does do a lot of his own stunts. He's also kind of fucking stupid and retarded because he's in the middle of this whole Twitter shitstorm now. He got some sort of deposition where he had to go and... because they're accusing him of abandoning his daughter during the whole divorce thing.
Oh, okay.
And he makes this comment of, I didn't abandon her. You have to understand, filming a movie is just like being a soldier deployed over in Afghanistan. And he was trying to make the point of, we could be away from my family for 3 to 4 months at a time while we do this
it's
filming.
It's a job. Right.
Right. But to make that correlation, like... People took Twitter and beat him over the head with it like a steel chair.
Yeah.
All these military people coming out going, oh, so sure, why don't you just come over, strap up, get your AK, and go out in the desert and not so much, pretty boy.
It's poorly worded.
Amazingly
intention.
Poorly worded.
Got it.
Almost couch-jumpingly bad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he really went off the rails
he
on that.
He has what we would like to call a shitty PR team.
Yeah. He... If there was ever such a thing as a 7-second delay that you could install into a human being, he needs to be the test subject.
You can have that installed on your Gmail. You can have a they call it the undo button. You can have a delay program. It's in the
yeah,
settings
yeah.
where you can have it. So you send an email, you can they have an undo.
Right.
What other service in the world can you click undo on email? Once
yeah,
you hit the
yeah.
button, it's gone. No. Gmail recognizes.
Yeah, no. He needs, like, the Whose Line Is It Anywhere sensors. Like,
yeah.
Before it comes out of his mouth, somebody's going to go, hold, please. No, I'm sorry. We can't let you say it. Okay, no. It's not like being deployed over. You know, being an actor is a rough job.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Much better. Thank
there we
you.
Go.
Yeah, no, not so much.
Huh. It's my job to not be there. Wait,
yeah.
No, that's not perfect.
That's not good either. Not so much either.
But, yeah, so... Color of Money. I love a good hustle movie. I love a good pool film. Great soundtrack. There's the very famous scene where he's kind of showing his oats, and it's one of the scenes where Paul Newman's like, cut the shit. Everybody's going to know who you are.
Right, right, right. Yeah, you got to keep low key. Low key.
Because he's...
The minute people know you're a hustler, it's over.
And he's sitting there, and he's like throwing around the pool cue like it's a baton.
Yeah, yeah.
While Werewolves of London's playing on the radio.
Nice.
Still remember to this day.
Very cool.
But... So now we go to you, sir.
I wouldn't put it in the same vein as a heist movie, but kind of a... I'm going to say it's related just because...
We need a segue.
It goes into con men stuff. It goes into dirty shenanigans going on. And it this is the only one where I have a tie for my sports. The tie is between Eight Men Out and Major League.
I've never seen Eight Men Out, so.
Eight Men Out is the story of the Chicago Black Sox.
Okay.
The team that is rumored to and pretty much, you know, they have almost enough evidence to say these fucking guys took money and threw the World Series when they were favored to win so people betting on the other team could make a shitload of money.
I don't even think I know the story, funny enough.
Oh, yeah. John Cusack is in it. Great movie. Doesn't play like, you know, your typical holding a beatbox, you know, over his head, John Cusack kind of thing. It's a really good story, and it was... Like, you get into the mindset of these players where some of them who were really well-known players at the time, like, you'd ask them if they did, and they just give you the whole, no comment, and turn around and walk off. And other players on that team were just like, of course this didn't happen. What, are you kidding? Because they weren't in on it.
Right.
They didn't know about it. And these other guys kind of shit the bed for them. And the whole group kind of basically gets banned from baseball. You
what
know,
era?
The whole rest of the team. I want to say like 20s. To
oh,
late,
wow. Okay. This is
maybe
then.
Later than that. 30s, maybe
back
30s, early 40s. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, the whole, that's what the whole Chicago Black Sox, you know, they, it was the one team that, I mean, everybody jokes about it. Oh, they got, you know, they threw that one on purpose. I'm a Pittsburgh fan. You can YouTube Neil O'Donnell's interception in Super Bowl 30. He throws it to the Dallas Cowboys guy. There's no Steelers player within 40 yards of this dude. He just throws it right to him, and everybody's like, oh, he took a fucking payoff. He can't prove it, but it looks like
suspicious.
Dumb enough to be shady.
Right.
This was worse than that. You know, you're watching the you know, the clips that they have and the reenactments of them. And, you know, the guy's under the pop fly, and all of a sudden it's like 15 feet from him, and it's like, oh, the sun, and he lets it fall kind of thing, and then tries to throw it, and then throws it wide, you know, like intentionally. Huh. It was just, it was a really good movie. Okay. I mean, I still watch it to this day.
So Cusack, who else is there anybody else name worthy?
I know there is.
Oh,
I haven't seen
enough.
It in probably 2 or 3 years, so I couldn't come up with another name off the top of my
newer
head.
Newer film, older film?
Oh, it's older.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, older. I want to say late 80s, maybe okay. Early to mid 90s.
That makes more sense, just age of Cusack.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, Eight Men Out, good stuff.
All right.
And the other one is Major League.
Well, Major
League, come on.
Classic.
Tom Berenger,
Charles
Wesley
Sheen.
Snipes, Charlie Sheen, just good stuff, Wild Thing. I was going to college when we saw this movie.
I put Wild, and funny enough, I put Wildcats in Major League in my brain in the same spot.
We saw this the first time when I was up in college up at Montclair State, and a bunch of us went out, probably 15 or 20 of us went out, and we just fell in love with this movie. It was so funny.
Jobu,
yeah. Such before he, you know, became commander of DS9 or whatever it was.
Holy shit, is that Avery Brooks?
Yeah, absolutely, it's Avery Brooks.
Motherfucker, I'm
going
to have to go look that up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good stuff.
Wow, never made that connection.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. But it was such a good and fun movie that we went back and saw it like 3 nights later as if we were going to a baseball game. Like, we wore our mitts. We had our baseball hats on. We had Wild Thing banners made. We went in the back row.
Right.
But we completely Rocky Hard it up.
Yeah.
I mean, when Charlie Sheen's coming out, we're waving the Wild Thing banners and we're singing along and everything. It's a very, very fun movie.
But it's such... It is a, I think I was young, too young to see the first one first. I think I saw the second one first and then the first one.
Oh, the second, this is one of those classic movie franchises where one of the main actors gets replaced between the first and second. And it really, I don't even want to say it ruins it, but
no.
It was just so painfully obvious.
It's
I mean,
not
Snipes doesn't come back for the second one. Who is it, like Omar Epps or somebody?
No, it was
Mike
Epps. No, it wasn't Omar Epps. It was, holy shit,
was
Cuba
it
Gooding Jr.
No, it wasn't.
No?
It absolutely was not Cuba Gooding Jr. Stop.
Maybe he's in one of the later ones then.
No. Look it up. IMDb it
is
right
it
now.
Is it Omar Epps?
It might be Mike Epps.
No.
One of the Epps. We're gonna put this to bed
it's
right now.
Epps something. Epstein Barr.
Exactly. Juan Epstein. Mr. Carter.
So why don't you keep talking about the movie instead of us being silent while I'm typing into IMDb?
Well, because we're, you know, we're immersing the audience in this whole thing. We're making them feel like they're
Tom Berenger
listening right along. I know that Tom Berenger.
No, you're right. You are fucking right. It was Omar Epps.
Omar Epps, yeah. Omar Epps from Wesley Snipes. Willie Mays Hayes.
Yep.
Yep.
And you are it's
run
like did I think it was Cuba is Cuba Gooding Jr. in the third one?
I don't even know. I don't think so.
I don't know. Anyway.
Runs like Mays, hits like Hayes, and the coach goes, "Well, you may run like Mays, but you hit like shit."
And I, now that I know it's Avery Brooks, I'm gonna have to go back because my favorite line in the whole series, I think, is it's from the second one, but it's he's looking at Joe Boone. He goes, "I have given you the finest whiskey, Joe Boone. I have given you everything you want, Joe Boone. If you do not help me today,
fuck you, Joe Boone.
I do it myself."
Bats are scared of curveball. Good movie.
Oh, so much fun.
But yeah, a very two different sides of two different coins. Very yeah. Drama, very comedy, but majorly good stuff.
Let me see. I got one left on my list.
I got one left on mine, and then I think I have an honorable mention that you agree with.
I agree with. So
we're going to we'll do that for last.
We'll keep that together. Yeah, my last it's one of them Rocky movies. Like, I love that standard, you know, start from nothing, raise up to the top sort of thing.
Sure.
It is not, I almost said it was over the top. The arm wrestling movie.
Wow.
It's not. It is The Karate Kid. One of my favorite movies ever.
You have surprised me today.
Why is that?
Because I thought for sure Gymkhana was going to be on this list.
It's not. All right, let's address the fact that it's not really a sport, B, a movie. It's
well, it's kind of gymnastics-ish, and, you know, according to the International Olympic Committee,
yeah.
You know, gymnastics is a sport.
There's a lot of, I think there's a lot of, like, those, like, mid-grade action movies, like Bloodsport,
right,
you know, American Kumite. Kickboxer. Yeah,
sure.
That I skipped in my brain and just went, no, that's like a different thing. You know, any of the Jean-Claude Van Damme style movies.
Okay.
So I tried to go with movies that were specifically, like, sporty.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't put Shaolin Soccer on my list, even though
it's a phenomenal film.
Really wanted
it's a great movie. Like, we know that we're missing out on some amazingness here.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Like Shaolin Soccer or Gymkhana.
Kung Fu Dunk. I mean, that...
I don't know that one.
Oh, my God. Shaolin Soccer, like, spawned off, like, you know, what if it happened to basketball? What if it happened to baseball? What if it happened in hockey?
There's
like
Air a Bud.
Whole... Yeah, there's like a whole other, you know, realm of them.
But yeah, Karate Kid's another flick that I'll watch any time of day, any day of the week. Watch from beginning, middle, or end.
Sure.
To the point where I showed my wife Karate Kid 3.
Oof.
And thank God we watch it with the riff tracks, because that movie is...
She's still your wife?
Well, it had the riff tracks, so we had something to laugh at.
Fair enough.
Perfect. But yeah, the first movie, there's not a single part of that movie that does not, like, resonate in some way, shape, or form. All of the Cobra Kai shit. John Kreese karate.
Sure.
And I think more of that movie is, like, part of the public understanding than we even give on.
Absolutely.
I wanted to start. That movie started an idea in my head that I wanted to start the Zabka, the guy who plays Johnny.
Right.
In Karate Kid, his name's Zabka. He's the bad guy in every movie in the 80s.
Right.
He's
yeah,
teenage
pretty much.
Asshole.
Yeah, yeah.
There's that one. There's Just One of the Guys.
Yep.
And the one with Rodney Dangerfield, the diving movie.
Back to school?
Yeah, he plays the asshole diving guy.
Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to start the church of... it's a very good... Rodney. The School of Zabka, where the premise is that you're trained to be the biggest villain... That's guaranteed to lose, so the good guy looks awesome. It's your job. You're basically like head of the job squad.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
the school is Zabka. Because Johnny is the perfect bad guy in Karate
Absolutely.
Kid.
Absolutely. We are going to train you night and day to make you number two.
Yes. Exactly.
That is it. That's funny. That's actually very cool.
I wanted shirts, like Church of Zabka.
But I got to tell you, that very much like Rocky IV, that movie infected you when you were watching it. When you're in the theater and you're watching Daniel-san, you know, and he goes into that fucking crane stance at the end, the short and curlies are going, and you're like, got that ice water running down your spine. You're like, oh my God, he's going to get it.
You do the same thing Marita does, which is he just does the nod. That little, like, absolutely. You got it right. This
and I
got
to tell you, Elizabeth Shue in that movie, too, nothing wrong with her.
Not in the slightest.
Oh my God. I will watch her read the phone book.
She aged well.
She did.
Like, there's a couple where you go, not so much. No, Elizabeth Shue aged very absolutely. Well.
Adventures in Babysitting, I will watch that all the time. Dude, I don't care. It's got Elizabeth Shue in it. I'm sorry. I had such a closet crush on her. Oh, my God.
Well, that was her era. I mean, Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Adventures in Babysitting, Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah. Cocktail she was into.
Oh, that's right. She was.
Yep. I think she was also in Leaving Las Vegas.
Yep. Oh, well, that was a little bit later, but she looks phenomenal.
But still, she's still great. Oh, I mean, she aged very well.
Very well.
Very well. She was also in The Saint, that horrible Val Kilmer movie. But she still looked amazing in that, too.
But not only Karate Kid, everything about that movie I love. The song, You're the Best Around.
Yeah.
Sweep the... anybody who is bored, has 5 minutes to kill... There's a band called No More Kings.
Okay.
They have a song called Sweep the Leg Johnny. That's the name of this. There you go. But the... Because there's not to be confused with the ska band, Sweep the Leg Johnny.
Oh, wow.
But there's this music video. They got the guy playing... they got Zabka.
Right.
Who lives in a trailer. And the singer of the band is like a pizza delivery guy.
Are you saying this is in the video? Or are you saying the actual actor lives in a trailer now?
No, this is in the
video. Has he fallen that far?
The best, but this is what's funny is he's living in a trailer. He's wearing the Cobra Kai uniform watching the film.
Nice.
And so he's sitting there watching it. And then he's reading off the lines as they're on screen.
Right.
And then his buddy, get him a body bag, Johnny.
Right.
That line shows up, and then they flash, and it's that guy sitting right there.
Nice.
And he's completely bald, and he's hysterical.
That's funny.
They got the whole cast of Cobra Kai to be in the fucking music video.
Well, what
video.
Else are they doing?
Making videos.
Rent is due. Come on. But just to show you how pervasive that was, too, I mean, I know your wife used to play. I used to play World of Warcraft. I know some of our listeners play World of Warcraft. And the World of Warcraft, the devs have definitely... they're in tune with pop culture.
As well, one would expect.
There's a lot of references in there and character names that are, you know, combinations of actor and character that they've played. There's locations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of these instances in Naxxramas, there's a boss fight where you come into the boss fight and it's a boss... And then there's two pairs of people, and he's, like, training them. So it's these sparring guys. You have to go through the sparring guys first, mind control them and everything else, right. Kill the boss, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go through the whole boss
tactics. Strike
face,
strike hard.
Yeah. But he's yelling at them. Like, he walks from one group, and he kind of watches them as they're beating the crap out of each other, walks to the other group, and one of the lines is, sweep the leg! As he's, like, talking to them. So you're like, dude! You know, it became pop culture. It ingrained itself in the mentality of the mid-80s.
There is no place for mercy here. Mercy is for the weak.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's mine.
Cobra Kai. Good stuff. I went in the complete opposite direction you could go from Cobra Kai. And I'm almost willing to bet that we might get a few unlikes. There might be some people who might just leave the webpage. Because of this movie. It's a risk I'm taking.
It is. It's a... Go ahead.
The Legend of Bagger Vance.
Uh-huh.
Will Smith movie. Jack Lemmon is... Not Jack Lemmon. Is it Jack Lemmon? No. It's the other guy who was in the Grumpy Old Man and Odd Couple with Jack Lemmon.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you can look it up.
Yep.
Matt Damon. It's a golf movie, and most people can't stand to watch, you know, golf on TV... Much less now we're going to make a movie about it.
It's a weird one.
Charlize Theron is in it. But I got to tell you, the fact that Will Smith is in this movie and the character that he plays, and, you know, you look at it and it's not a story about Will Smith. It's not a story about Matt Damon. It's a story about the little kid who happens to watch all this happen and how it, you know, affects his life going forward. It's a great movie. I could watch it. And like you said about Karate Kid, you know, beginning, middle, end, if it's on TV and I happen to stumble across it, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, I think you're getting the grumpy old man confused with this is Bruce McGill.
Bruce McGill?
Yeah. Is that who you're talking about?
No.
Okay.
No, because it's the narrator guy for this movie. Will Smith, Matthew Hillstrom, Bruce McGill. No, Bruce McGill plays one of the characters.
Oh, now you're looking for narrator.
He keep going down. Rest of Jack Lemmon.
Jack Lemmon. You had it right. It was Jack Lemmon.
It was Jack Lemmon. I thought it was the other guy.
Nope.
No, Jack Lemmon, he starts off as like this, you know, 90-year-old guy out playing golf. And he's having one of the best golf games of his life.
He's uncredited. That's why I wasn't at
the And he starts to think back to when he was a kid and he saw like the best round of golf ever played.
And he becomes Will Smith.
No. He's the little kid. Asshole. Matt Damon is like a war hero who used to be an amazing golfer, lost a lot of men over in the war, came back, never had the same golf game, mm-hmm. enters into this tournament so they can, you know, make all this money for this golf course that they want to build and, you know, everything else. And he's playing like absolute shit. And all of a sudden along comes Will Smith, and Will Smith decides to be his caddy. And there's some religious overtones sure. and religious metaphors to it. And
everything. What era does the movie take place in?
The movie takes place, I want to say, like the 20s.
Okay.
But it's
because I
knew
there's a racial, at least.
Yeah, but it's not even. The overtone is maybe there for like 10 minutes.
Okay,
but then that's gone. But it's almost the whole movie's a flashback of Jack Lemmon remembering him seeing this happen when mm-hmm. he was a little kid, and how it affected him growing up. But again, it's just one of those things. Where it's one of those movies where I'll just sit there and watch. I have no problem watching that movie.
I don't judge. I've never seen it, and I think it's not because, it's a golf movie and because pretty much if Matt Damon's in something, I'm going to watch it. He doesn't.
Yeah, yeah.
He really, even when the movie sucks, Matt Damon's still pretty fucking good.
Right, right.
It's just it's never been on when I've been flipping.
Yeah. You know? I don't think it's on the Netflix either. Yeah. But, I liked it. Very good stuff.
Yeah. Golf is not one that you expect. There's not many great golf movies. There's one amazing golf movie and then a bunch of...
There's Tin Cup.
Oh, no. I was thinking, you know, Caddyshack.
Grip It and Rip It. Oh, yeah. And there's the original Caddyshack. Yeah. Everything after that.
No.
Not so
Jackie
much.
Jackie Mason.
Oh, that's a nice blue jacket. It looks blue. I stand like this. It looks green. I stand like this. It looks purple. Fucking terrible.
Jesus.
And I love how we'll get to, like, we'll go to Wild Pig sometimes, and they'll put Caddyshack on the TV. And you've got, like, 13, 14-year-old kids playing Magic the Gathering, and we look at each other, and they're like, do they realize what movie this is? Like, is this going to, yeah?
They have no idea.
Give me 3 dozen of those glow-in-the-dark golf balls, a box of those naked lady tees. What, do you buy that hat, you get a free bowl of soup? Oh, looks good on you, though.
Everybody, we're all going to get laid. So
another good Rodney movie too.
Yeah. Sorry, my brain immediately went to I do short total tangent.
Right.
So I do Mystery Science Theaters when I go to cons.
Okay.
And the guy who puts these things together sends me the list of movies ahead of time in case I want a pre-watch.
Oh, sure.
For next season.
Right. Right.
So I have the list.
Right. Right.
One of them for next year is Rover Dangerfield. It's an animated movie where I don't know whether it's Rodney Dangerfield or not doing the voice, but it's an animated dog. Rodney Dangerfield.
Have fun with that.
I don't know if you can see this face. This is an upset face. This is I got to deal with that.
Yeah.
Sorry. And hearing that just made me go, oh, God, okay. I'm going to watch that. Anyway, back to sports movies.
Honorable mention.
Yes. And I think it's justified that our honorable mention is not actually a real sport.
Yeah, and it's, you know, there is also a very funny story about that too, because the writers of this movie claim that this sport was not created for the movie. Like, this is
really?
Something, this is a sport that they created with their friends drunk in their driveway playing this game.
That makes sense, actually.
And when they said, hey, we're going to do this movie, oh, dude, let's use that thing that we did. We'll do it about that. So it wasn't just like, we need a wacky sport for this movie. We're talking about basketball.
Yes. Classic Matt and Trey.
Fantastic movie.
Across the board.
Fantastic soundtrack. I mean, this is like, I don't want to say it's in their South Park heyday. Did this come out before Bigger, Longer, Uncut?
Almost guaranteed.
Okay. It was their star was still rising.
Yes.
When this movie
came
out.
It was definitely still rising, but they were known.
Oh, yeah. They were definitely well known, but they had not hit their peak. Their market Agreed. Saturation had not gotten to the point where it was like, oh, look, these guys again.
Mm-hmm.
Very good stuff. Yasmin Bleeth is in it. Good stuff.
And it's...
Playmate of the Year, Victoria Silvstedt is in it.
That's right.
Just because, you know, what are you doing? What does it look like? Looks like you're hanging in a hot tub with Playmate of the Year, Victoria Silvstedt. I'm hanging in a hot tub with Playmate of the Year, Victoria Silvstedt.
What I love about that one is there's the, who is it, the Farrelly Brothers?
Yep.
And then there's the Naked Gun movies. It's a natural, like, this movie feels like, though, it has the same heart as
yes.
those.
Yes, yeah, 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 I'm with you.
Every background scene, there's something funny going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Every, you know, free-range chicken night.
And Al Michaels and Bob Costas.
Fantastic.
I mean, if you want to talk... You know, sometimes they put people in movies and have them say certain things for shock value. Perfect example, Yasmin Bleeth in this movie. How they got her to say, you know, long wanger, throbbing cock, I have no idea. But kudos to whoever did. Because,
right.
you know, that right there, good stuff. But the stuff that they get Al Michaels and Bob Costas to say in this movie, I don't know that you could get them to deliver lines like this now in their career. Maybe Al Michaels, but maybe not so much Bob Costas.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
since he's become right. almost kind of like a political machine mm-hmm. now kind of thing. But, you know, when they're, you know, day 197 of the basketball playoffs, Bob Costas leans over and wakes up a sleeping Al Michaels, and Al Michaels' first words, "No, Daddy, don't touch me there." What?
At the same time, you have Robert Stack, who admittedly has done comedies.
Oh, sure.
You know, Caddyshack too, again,
Absolutely.
Funny enough. But this was during his Unsolved Mystery days.
Yep.
So you have, like, serious Robert Stack.
Sure.
And they're doing the Unsolved Mysteries for, I think it's Coop.
Yep.
Who's gone missing. And I wish I could find Coop. I'd like Coop to be my boyfriend. And in the background, you have the same Unsolved Mystery set, and there's
yep.
dudes playing solitaire.
Yep.
Fucking great.
Good stuff. And, you know, Al Michaels has that line. Bob Costas, you know, Al Michaels almost mimics the whole "Do you believe in miracles?" line, and he reaches over. "Isn't this exciting? I'm so excited." And Bob Costas goes, "You're excited? Feel these nipples."
Yeah.
You don't get those guys to do that kind of
no.
stuff now. I think, you know, that's in their wackier, younger days. But such a good movie. The movie was well-paced. Like, at no point did you ever feel like it was dragging. Like, oh, when is it going to end?
And that's a classic sports movie. Very specifically, like, 70s, early 80s sports movie.
Right.
Where it's got that middle...
Yeah, where you almost need the montage
yeah.
in the middle just to try to... We need to bring everybody up
Wake
to
up,
speed.
Everybody.
We're not going to make everybody, you know, watch yeah. all the training.
We get it, Sylvester. You're starting to date the bitch.
Exactly.
Come on. You're right.
Good stuff. And again, the soundtrack, some of my favorite
Real
stuff.
Real Big Fish, baby.
Oh, Real Big Fish. Not only doing beer, but
Take on
the
Me.
Aha, Take on Me. Oh, YouTube that one if you've never seen it. Good stuff.
I've seen those boys plenty of times.
Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
Well, I've seen Real Big Fish a handful of times, but that's for as much as they were like on their star was rising around
Oh,
that
yeah,
time.
Yeah. That was when ska was really big.
Yeah,
and,
the,
you know,
the big resurgence.
Sublime and everything else.
That movie, the Take on Me. Kind of like punch them as like the commercial ska band.
Oh yeah, well because when that movie got popular, the soundtrack was so big that video was all over MTV.
Oh.
Back when MTV used to actually play music.
What? Stop it.
Yeah, exactly. That M used to stand for music in the television.
No, it stands for milk toast and milieu.
Yes.
Mundane.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. I mean,
I'm actually remembering the scene where they're visiting the kid in the hospital.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where they, so he, will you get five home runs for me? I don't know whether he'll do it for you, kid.
Yep.
Okay.
Because Scott Reamer's great with kids. Such a good movie. Oh, very quotable too.
Yeah.
I mean, just so much of that.
Comes
out of left field, you know, like they hit you with stuff you never expected. And it's funny because, you know, they go through the whole, the sport gets very popular. It comes from grassroots playing in the front yard to, you know, now it's major league and every major, you know, city and metropolitan area has their own basketball team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the glory and the fame goes to the one guy's head and the other one's trying to stay real and keep grounded and everything. And just very good.
So, me and my little sister would have dude conversations after that film. It's one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Dude.
Such good stuff.
So
I should have been gone.
Those
dude,
are
he said no Steve Perry sign-outs.
those are ours. What are yours? Find us, comment on us, Facebook it, tweet.
Absolutely. And Facebook is facebook.com/somethingsomethingcast.
Email is somethingcast@gmail.com. The website I know is somethingcast.com.
Is somethingcast.com.
And the Twitter is STSTcast.
STSTcast.
Or you find all of it at somethingcast.com.
Yes.
All of it is linked
soon
right
to be found on iTunes.
Eventually.
As soon as Ichabod Tunes emails us back with the okay.
Two podcasts enter. No podcast leave.
Gives us the secret handshake.
Jesus. So anything else you want to answer?
I think I'm good right now. I'm trying to think, you know what? While we're on, I'm trying to think if there's any really big sports movies that are like coming down the pipe. Everything right now is really like everything superhero based. Everything's going crazy. I mean,
like the last sportsy movie I can think of is Real Steel, and that was still like,
yeah,
I'm sure there's ones I'm missing, but that's because, you know,
they're not on the radar.
Exactly.
And if they are, they're not prominent.
Very tiny blips. I think the world is no longer run by jocks, so you know you don't see as many sports movies.
It's the time of the nerd.
It is the time of the geek. So
I mean, you've got Marvel's ruling the roost. DC's coming out soon. Yep. Marvel just inked a deal with Netflix for four new original TV shows.
And they're all good characters.
I mean, come on.
I just saw Thor.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't hate it.
Okay.
Didn't love it.
I haven't seen it yet.
But I think that's that then. Let us know what you guys think. In 2 weeks, we will be coming back with our...
It might be 3 weeks. We're going to take...
Our next episode will be about...
Since we're getting into the holidays... instead of going early December, late December with people getting over the, you know, the trip to Fancoma from Thanksgiving and gearing up for the Christmas shopping, I think we're going to do one episode near the middle of December.
We'll just try and make it a big, long holiday.
And then everybody is going to get a couple weeks off to deal with Christmas, deal with New Year's, and then we'll come back with a vengeance. Our next episode, I think we're going to leave that as a secret. I think we'll post that up on the Facebook. We'll throw it up on the website. We'll put it out on the Twitter.
Sure.
Make people, you know, let them wonder.
Let them work for it.
Yeah. Should I really tune in next time? Because we had people like, oh, look, Dan Brown episode. Well, there's 2 weeks off I can get. We're not going to tell you. This is something that you may want to listen to. You never know. You're going to have to tune in and find out.
Yes. It could be a pastiche of wonderful things like this episode has been.
Absolutely. Hey, it could be a best of episode. Do we have enough in the tank already to do a best of? Or is it 10 episodes in?
I don't think we have enough for a best of segment.
Yeah, I think you have to hit like 25 in order to get a best of.
Although I have seen a couple of our fans have been posting like little things they like on the Twitter and stuff.
Oh, nice.
So specifically the how the In the Future James Bond episode is going to... Why, hello there.
Oh, yes. I did see that from Josh.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I'm James Hatton.
I am Podcast Rob.
And we will see you guys in a couple weeks.
Sounds good. Later.
Bye.
I didn't see it coming, creeping up from behind. I was almost swallowed whole by the thrill of the fight. It wasn't for the money, and it wasn't just for fun. I wanted to make a mark. I just wanted to be someone. I heard the devil whisper in my ear. He made his message clear when he said, sweep the leg, Johnny. Monkey hear, monkey think. There is no fear in this dojo. I was a superhero.